Mute. Right. Yeah, there we go. Can everyone hear me okay? Perfect. So, good morning, everyone. We're going to start this morning with our preparation. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, be with you
And
and also
also
with
with
you.
you.
O Lord, open our lips, and
And
our
our
mouth
mouth
shall
shall
proclaim
proclaim
your
your
praise.
praise.
Blessed are you, Creator of all. To you be praised and glory forever. As your dawn renews the face of earth, bringing light and life to all creation, may we rejoice in this day you have made.
Blessed
Blessed be
be
God
God forever.
forever. As we wake, refreshed from the depths of sleep, open our eyes to behold your presence and strengthen our hands to do your will, that the world may rejoice and give you praise. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Blessed
Blessed be
be
God
God
forever.
forever.
The night has passed and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire and love for you, and now and forever.
Amen.
Amen.
Now we move on to a prayer of confession. Compassionate God, we bring to you in sorrow the times we have not run the race of faith because it has been too tough. The times when we have looked away when others are struggling and not run with them in their need. The times we have tried to run in our own strength and let you and others down. We are really sorry and ask for your loving forgiveness and healing grace. That we might begin again. In Jesus' name, Amen.
Amen.
And we move on to assurance of forgiveness. Amazing God, you cheer us on when we are faltering. You carry us when we are exhausted. You give us confidence when we are wavering. You forgive us when we are sorry, and you invite us to run your race. In Jesus, with Jesus as our guide, our leader and perfecter of our faith. Amen.
Amen. So now moving on to the first reading, Hebrews 11, 29, chapters 12, verses 2. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who thought faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weaknesses was turned into strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they may gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. These are all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks
Thanks be
be to
to God.
God. So I'm hoping that you'll be able to hear me okay. And I'm going to sing, as I said, Goodness of God. For your mercy never fails me. In all my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father, known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. No, my you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after. My life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I'll give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Cause all my been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Yes, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Lovely, thank you.
So I'm doing the second reading. The second reading comes from Luke 12, verses 49 to 56. Not peace, but division. I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and what constraint I am under until it is completed. Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on, there will be five in one family divided against each other, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He said to the crowd, when you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say, it's going to rain, and it does. And when the south wind blows, you say, it's going to be hot, and it is. Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it you don't know how to interpret this present time? This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Okay, and I'm going to do my reflection. Mine is a little bit on the long side, but I've put everything I can into the reflection today. So, who is running with you? Hebrews 11, 29, chapter 12, verse 2. Luke 12, 49 to 56. Footprints in the sand. I've been asked to write an account for our service today. I sat, read, and pondered about what the verses and the theme mean to me. My first thought was these verses remind me of faith and the difference faith makes in our lives. Having faith and what this actually looks like for me and others. I then thought about our theme, who is running with you? The first things that came to my mind was the footprints in the sand poem and how the poem reflects upon when life gets tough, sometimes our faith may flounder. Hazel's now going to read the poem.
Footprints in the sand. One night I had a dream. I was walking along the beach with my Lord. Across a dark sky flashed scenes from my life. And for each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and one to my Lord. When the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand and I noticed that many times along my life's pathway, especially at my lowest and saddest moments, there are only one set of footprints in the sand. This troubled me and I asked the Lord about it. Lord, you said if I followed you in life, you'd walk with me all my way. But I noticed that during the most difficult times of my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why. When I needed you the most, you would leave me. He whispered, my precious child, I love you and will never leave you. During the times of trials and suffering, when you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you.
It tells a story of a person who dreams of walking with God along a beach, noticing two sets of footprints, their own and God's, in the sand. During difficult times, a person sees only one set of footprints, leaving them to the question God's absence. God then reveals that the single set of footprints represents times when he carried the person. This links so comfortably with Hebrews 11, 29, chapters 12, verse 2, highlights the power of faith using Israelites crossing the Red Sea as an example. It emphasizes their actions were a result of faith in God's promise, unlike the Egyptians who acted in presumption. Luke 12, 49 to 56 discusses Jesus' mission, bringing not peace but division, and calls for people to interpret the present time through faith rather than just focusing on external signs. Through my reflection today, I am going to focus on Hebrews 11, Footprints in the Sand, Aslan, the Chronicles of Narnia, which you may know, and the ultimate theme of Who is Running with You? Every one of us runs a race shaped by our life struggles, balancing work, relationships, finances, mental health. Some of us are sprinting strong, some are exhausted. The question, who is running with who, is not just poetic, it's divine. We are trying to run life's race on our own terms, or are we aligning our pace, purpose and perseverance with Jesus Christ? Running through the impossible, Moses and the Red Sea, Hebrews 11:29 records the Israelites crossing the Red Sea, trapped between armed enemies and impassable water. Fear surged, tears followed. Yet by faith they stood and God parted the sea. This isn't about impressive faith. It's about faith under pressure. They didn't sprint ahead. They stood firm. They didn't run from God. They ran towards him. If I were to ask you who were the most famous runners you could think of, I bet most of you would come up with Usain Bolt and Mo Farah. They have both been incredibly successful. Mo has won more gold championship golds in long distance track running than anyone else. And Usain Bolt is an 8th Thai Olympic gold medalist and holds a world record for 100 metres, 200 and the 4x 100 metre relay. They're also both big personalities and famous for signs they make when they win races. They are both inspirational characters. So how are they so successful? A couple of quotes may come to mind. Usain Bolt, do not think about the start of the race. Think about its ending. Mo Farah, Look at my success. I didn't achieve it overnight. It has been the product of many years' struggle. To be a top runner, you need to be someone dedicated and focused on ending the race, on winning the prize, but you also need to be prepared to face the struggles. The same can be said about being a Christian. Indeed, in our reading today, the writer of Hebrews uses the image of running and racing to make this point. This image shows us that to be a Christian is not a passive thing, but being in the race and running on the track. Our faith shouldn't just be a vague afterthought, but the driving force of every aspect in our lives. Let us run the race set before us. Faith is about hope. It is about confidence that God will give us what he promised. When Usain Bolt or Mo Farah ran a race, they hoped to win. The difference for us as Christians is that we run the race. We know we will win the prize. Unlike sporting events, the Christian life is not a competition where only one or two win. Jesus has already won the prize for us, and God has promised us that there is an amazing future awaiting for us. The examples of faith in chapter 11 includes mention of those who are heading for the promised land. The Israelites, who had been slaves in Egypt, were promised by God their own amazing land to live in. So they set off on a journey. It is not an aimless wandering, but one with a goal in mind, the land that God has promised. Their faith drove them on towards the prize, with amazing miracles as they crossed the Red Sea to dry land. In the same way, baptism is a sense that sense the starting line of Christian faith. The baptism, we are given those amazing promises of prize that Christ has won for us, but we can't just be baptized and think that all is there is being in being a Christian. It needs to be accompanied by faith, and faith drives us to the prize. I spoke at the beginning about two runners, Mo and Usain Bolt. Usain, of course, is a sprinter. He runs short, very fast races very quickly. The 100 meter is all over in just 10 seconds. Not much time to even think. Mo Farah, on the other hand, is a long distance runner. That's a very difficult, different kind of race, which needs an attitude and a mindset that will persevere and endure through the pains that come along. The Christian life is more of a marathon. In the list of heroes of faith, we are told that Moses, you know the story, and although he was an Israelite in Egypt, he was brought up in a Pharaoh's palace. He could have quite easily continued with that life, ignoring God and ignoring the plight of his fellow Israelites, whilst enjoying the sinful pleasures and being part of Pharaoh's court would have given him. Yet because of his faith and his desire to grasp the prize that God had promised for him and his people, he chose to follow God's plan. Our greatest example, so to be Christian, is to live by faith. There are many examples in the Bible that shows us how to do this. Not only was he completely sinless, but a great example is Jesus. Not only was he completely sinless, but in his sacrifice, he ended the shame of the cross. The cross was designed to be the most humiliating form of punishment, an attempt to ridicule, belittle, and humiliate the enemies of Rome. Yet Jesus endured its shame, being obedient to the Father, winning the victory over sin and setting us free, creating a bridge, a path for us to follow. Jesus is indeed the author and perfecter of faith. Will you fix your eyes on him? Get up and run the Christian race that God has set before you. You may have read the Chronicles of Narnia. They may have been your favourite childhood books. Now let me tell you about a story where four children and a dwarf are taking a walk and have faith. It's my favourite part in the book, Prince Caspian and the Chronicles of Narnia by C.S. Lewis, when Peter, Susan, Edmund and Lucy are trying to get to a specific place, but they don't know the way. What happens next? As Aslan the lion shows up to guide them. The problem is that only Lucy can see him. Now, three of the four children must follow a guide that they believe in, but they can't see. Lucy needs to follow Aslan because she knows that it is what he wants her to do, even if the others choose to not to follow her. This is a picture of faith. Faith in Lucy's case is different from her brothers and sisters, but is also a journey of faith. For Lucy, faith is obediently following where Aslan leads. She already trusts him enough to see him, but she must also stop walking in the wrong direction against the majority. For Peter and Susan and Edmund, who can't see Aslan, Faith is trusting in what they can't see, because they already know Aslan and they know he can't be trusted, so they follow without sight. By the end of the journey, because one by one, they fully believe and trust in where Aslan leads, they can see him. There are a couple of reasons why I love this part of the story. It relates clearly to my life. I've often had to take steps of faith because I'm certain God is leading a direction, even if I'm having a hard time seeing where it'll end up. There have also been times when I've had to have faith to walk a different path than the world around me, because I know God didn't want me to go where other people are leading. Like Lucy, we can't see the end goal of where we are going, but we know it's where God is leading us. In Hebrews, the author presents a powerful vision of faith as endurance, drawing from the Israel history to inspire perseverance among believers. The faith from Moses to unnamed martyrs acted courageously, not because of visible results, but because they trusted God's promises. This legacy of faith culminates in a call to run with perseverance, the race marked out for us, with Jesus as the ultimate example, as the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Christ endured suffering and shame for the joy set before him, offering a model for those facing hardship. The passage reframes faith as not a passive belief, but as an active, costly, and resilient obedience in the face of trials. Luke echoes this call to decisive commitment by portraying Jesus as a figure who brings not peace, but fire and division. His message disrupts the comfortable social and religious norms, often dividing even families. The fire-like represents both judgment and purification, emphasizing the urgency of responding rightly to Christ's mission. Jesus challenges the crowd's spiritual apathy. They can interpret weather patterns, but fail to discern the critical significance of his presence. Taken together, both passages confront readers with the reality that genuine faith may involve conflict, sacrifice, and courage to stand apart. Following Christ demands both clarity of vision and steadfast endurance. When you're afraid, stand still and let God make a way. When you're exhausted, recognize his footprints and remember he's carrying you. He wants to lead you. Have faith to follow him.
Thanks, Debbie. Let's pray. Lord, help us to run your race, supporting each other as we go. Lord, we come to meet together today from different homes, different situations, different jobs and hobbies, yet with one uniting feature. We are here together to worship and be transformed by you. We come together to learn more of you and then be sent out to live your way in our world. Sometimes we find living your way to be easy. Sometimes it's a challenge. Sometimes it's very, very hard. Thank you that we have each other to travel with. Thank you that we are given the gift of supporting each other through the race that is following you. We pause now to look around us at all those who are worshipping with us today. Maybe our families, maybe our friends, some we know a little, some we may not have seen before. Thank you, Lord, for each person here today. Give us each the courage to speak to someone today that we've never spoken to before, and grow the bonds of love and friendship that you have led us to. We thank you, Lord, for each other. Lord, help us to run your race, supporting each other as we go.
Lord, you call us to run the race together, not alone, but thank you for the privilege of being able to support each other on the journey. We thank you particularly of those who are finding the travelling very hard at the moment. We pray for the sick, the sorrowful, the bereaved, those who have received difficult news, those whose exam results were not what they had hoped for, pausing particularly for our named peoples today. For the sick, Steph, Jack, Rosemary, Mary, Brian, Derek, Anne, Brenda, Roy, Andrew, Paul, Colin, Stephen, Brian, Gerald, Ian, Sue, Cynthia, Jean, John, Tom, Margaret, Rackenford School, Tiverton High School, and Tiverton Hospital. And also for the family and friends of those who have recently died, James Butler. Give them comfort in their troubles and sadness. Help them to see a way through the difficulties. Reassure them that you are walking with them. Show us how we can be a support for someone this week. We picture a person or a situation now where we think we might be leading each of us. Walk with us towards those you send to us. Lord, help us to run your race,
supporting each other as we go. Lord, we think now of our world. We often feel so helpless in the face of such seemingly impossible problems. Wars, unrest, and lack of love. We do not have the strength to solve any of these problems on our own. But you are a God of justice who can see the day when your kingdom comes and the world will live in peace. Until that day, we support one another to trust that you are in control. We therefore pray in faith for Ukraine, the Middle East, and Sudan. Lord, we cry out to you to bring the lasting peace that only you can bring. We pray for Christians in those countries seeking to be peacemakers in their communities. Help us to support them in any way we can as we run the race together. Lord, help us to run your race, supporting each other as we go. Finally, Lord, we offer ourselves to you during this coming week. Maybe we need to face something hard. Maybe we're expecting some fun things to happen. Maybe we don't know if anything different will take place at all. Lord, whatever happens, help us to run each day alongside you and help us to run the race of faith with our families and friends. Run before us into every situation and help us to follow faithfully. Thank you, Lord, for all the joy and challenge of running and for never leaving our sides. Help us all to keep going, supporting each other as we go. Amen. Collect for the ninth Sunday after Trinity. Almighty God, who sent your Holy Spirit to be the life and light of your church, open our hearts to the riches of your grace, that we may bring forth the fruits of the Spirit in love and in joy and peace, through Jesus Christ, the Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
And now we're going to say our Lord's Prayer. As our Saviour taught us, we're going to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
And finally, the blessing. The love of the Lord Jesus draw us to himself. The power of the Lord Jesus strengthen us in his service. The joy of the Lord Jesus fill our hearts. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us and those whom we love and pray for, today and always. Amen.